You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
You're listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up.
Miami's got the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen.
Good evening, Miami Dolphins fans. How are you today? I'm sure you're all doing better. On this Monday night, soon to be Tuesday morning, December the 12th, in a few minutes, I am your host, Michael Lieber, here on the DolphinsTalk.com post-game wrap-up show. The game just ended a few moments ago. The Titans come back from a 14-point deficit in the fourth quarter. The Dolphins handed it away, and the Titans come away with a 28-27 win. I'm your host, Michael Lieber, joined as always here on the post-game wrap-up show by Tom Ernesty. Tom, we have avoided stubbing our toe all year and being the one team that hasn't lost to a team that they weren't supposed to lose to. Until tonight, prime time in front of the world, the Dolphins come out and play, I think, the worst game of the year. The game against the Bills is one thing. The Bills are a halfway decent team. The Titans stink on toast, and the Dolphins went out there and laid an egg, injuries or not.
It was awful. I mean, you're up 14 points with like six minutes left in the game. You let them march down the field, not once, but twice. Get a two-point conversion on the first touchdown. Mike McDaniel and the offense had a chance to close the game out. Two straight runs right up the gut, nothing creative, and then a third down that Tua scrambled and was ended up short. And, you know, I'm at a loss for words. I have no idea. Can't fathom the thought that this is the loss. This is a defining loss to this season, the fourth loss of the year. They're 9-4. They're still the two seed in the AFC, but their shot of getting the one seed is pretty much up in smoke. And the other piece of this is the Buffalo Bills are still on the Dolphins' ass with four games to play, and the AFC East is not locked up. So, and the Dolphins schedule gets a lot tougher in these last four games. I don't care what the best record is. It's a division.
It's not even that. The Dolphins right now have a lot of injuries, and they got some serious ones. And we're going to talk about all that. But after tonight, this season really did take a turn tonight in a lot of ways. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But first, as always, a big shout out to everyone listening at finheaven.com. Everyone go to finheaven.com, largest Miami Dolphins message board on the internet. Also, a shout out to our friends at the I Am a Miami Dolphins Fan Facebook group, run by the great and talented Carlos Hernandez. If you're on Facebook, please be sure you are a part of the I Am a Miami Dolphins Fan Facebook group. And wherever you're listening to this podcast, whether Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, YouTube, Google Play, Audible, subscribe. And if you leave us a 5-star rating and positive comment on Apple Podcasts, I'll read it on the air. Let's get through who's still healthy on this team, because after tonight, it wasn't just a loss. They got beat up as well. First off, head into the game. Teron Armstead out. Not a shock there. Whatever. Robert Hunt still with a hamstring injury. No time frame on his return. Javon Holland also missed his second straight game. I don't know the time frame on any of these guys. Armstead, you know, he's on social media. I'm going to play. He ain't. Folks, if you believe what they say on social media, that's on you. Armstead's never healthy. Robert Hunt, now he had this hamstring injury twice. I would guess this is probably going to be a couple-week thing. They even said last week, Mike McDaniel, it's week-to-week. So I don't know if we see him next week. And Javon Holland, you know, he practiced Friday a little bit, but come game time, he didn't play. Then we got to the game. In the first quarter, the Miami Dolphins need to buy stock in blue tents. Xavien Howard goes down on the third play of the game. He did return, so it didn't seem serious, but that was a scary moment. Waddle, on a pass where Tua just exposed him, took a big hit, looked like it might have been a concussion or whatever. He did return shortly after only missing a few plays. But then the two big injuries came. Connor Williams goes down with a knee, does not return, and per reports from Omar Kelly, he is out for the remainder of the season. Connor Williams not being on the field at center the rest of the season is brutal, because Liam Eichenberg, for all the flowers we have sort of tossed his way at left guard and right guard and how well he's played there, Liam Eichenberg cannot play center. And this team is going to have a tough time beating good teams. And after next week, it's nothing but good teams on the schedule with Liam Eichenberg at center. And then it gets worse. Tyreek Ankle, what looked like the horse collar, it wasn't called, but that's who cares at this point. Ankle injury, missed most of the first half, came back halfway through the third quarter, wasn't on the field for a lot of drives, but for some reason's back there returning a kickoff. Makes no sense to me. Makes no sense. And then in crucial drives, he was off the field, on the field. He does not look 100%. And obviously his chase of 2,000 yards probably ended tonight. All the MVP talk for Tua and Tyreek ended tonight as well. It just did, unfortunately. Primetime game in front of the world, and both of them, one gets hurt, and the other one doesn't play a great game. So the Connor Williams injury, though, Tom, you know, that there's a couple, each team's got a couple guys they just can't afford to lose. If they lose him for a game or two, whatever, you can survive. To lose him now down the stretch run and for the playoffs is going to be impossible to replace, because Liam Eichenberg's not an NFL center. He can't snap the ball. And he just can't. I don't know what else to say. I don't know what they do. And God forbid something happens to Liam, there's really nobody behind him. So the injuries right now down the stretch are going to be a big deal. Let me just give some more thoughts here, and then I'll get some more thoughts from you. The offense with the injury here to Connor Williams, and that's just one report, but I know Omar, he ain't making stuff up. If he was told this, it's like 99% true. The offense is going to have to change. It's going to have to adjust. Mike McDaniel's going to have to come up with something to find a way to navigate around your center. I think, you know, hopefully at some point you get back Hunt. Hopefully at some point you get back Connor Williams. But the thing is here, now that means you're going to be with Lester Cotton and Robert Jones as your starting guards, unless you think about maybe moving Kendall Lamb inside the guard when Armstead hopefully comes back. And it's got to be a more ground-and-pound offense. This offensive line, it's not horrible with no Connor Williams, but its pass blocking suffers dramatically. As we saw tonight, Tua was rattled all night, didn't have a lot of time, felt rushed, wasn't comfortable in the pocket. And because the snaps weren't great and Liam Eichenberg is not a strong pass blocker from the center. The other thing from this game tonight, two big mistakes. Bradley Chubb with the idiot penalty of the season so far, which really cost our team this game. In the first half, you make a big stop on third down near the goal line. You hold the Titans to three. He feels the need to just take his helmet off on the middle of the field, throw it to the ground. Personal foul, extend the drive. Titans score a touchdown. Dolphins lose by one, handed them 4 points. And then another doper long snapper. How's a long snapper get a personal foul penalty? Blows my mind. You're a long snapper. Put your head down, snap the ball. Anyone gives you a hard time, walk off the field. I don't want to hear about it. He gets a personal foul penalty, gives the Titans a short field. And then on the kickoff, our genius special teams coach, Danny Crossman, can't even have his team line up. Our Dolphins special team. And he had a blocked field goal in the first half. So blocked field goal, your dumb long snapper gets your personal foul penalty, and you can't even line up right on a kickoff. How Danny Crossman's still employed tomorrow morning blows my mind. But between Bradley Chubb and his dumb penalty, which handed him 4 points, and our idiot long snapper and poor special teams, in a game where your offense isn't playing great, your defense kind of crumbled, you need all three phases not to screw up, and special teams really shot him in the foot tonight. It's just an undisciplined performance. And the play calling, we all love Mike McDaniel. I don't feel like I should have to say this, but I know some people who listen only hear what they want to hear. Nobody's like bashing Mike McDaniel, saying he's got to get fired, he stinks. Nobody's saying that. But there are moments like this every year, and tonight was the moment where he tries to get too cute. You got a first and goal, third quarter, pass, pass, pass. You're running the ball for like 6.5 yards a carry. Pass, pass, pass. And then, end of the game, he couldn't just, you know, the play calling there to try to win the game. I don't mind running the ball, but running the ball up the middle like that behind a backup center, two backup guards, might not have been the wisest thing in the world. Let's try to run it behind Austin Jackson, a guy you just paid a boatload of money for, who's having a great year. Just a Mike McDaniel situation with the play calling today, his worst game of the year. Again, nobody's calling for him to get fired. Everyone relaxes. We can say he had a bad game, because guess what? He had a bad game, And, you know, some dumb penalties here by Bradley Chubb and our stinking long snapper.
Yeah, there was just a lot of undisciplined football all over the place tonight against, you know, these are the moments where a team like the Dolphins and how they've played this year just go out there and, you know, you play a clean game. This shouldn't have been close, you know, and on top of all of that, they had so many chances just to put this team away, and I don't know what the hell Vic Fangio was calling late in the game. You know, your prevent defense when you're up two scores is silly. You just keep playing your defense that's been successful all night. You know, you touched on the injuries at this point. You know, everyone, you know, injuries aren't an excuse. There aren't. But when you're down to your third, fourth string offensive line mid-game, it looked awful. And once the offensive line looked the way that they did, everything was out of sync offensively. There was no time for Tua to, you know, sit back in the pocket. I don't know, Mike. There's just so many.
This is the new plays. Normal, though. Here's the deal. For as good as a 9-3 start was, unfortunately, these next four games, and I know the Jets aren't very good, but their defense is damn good. And we're going to have to block them with Lester Cotton. We're going to have to block them with Liam Eikenberg and Robert Jones. And we might be seeing those three guys as the interior of our offensive line for a few weeks. And then after that, they might have to block the Cowboys. Because, folks, Connor Williams, from all reports, ain't walking through that door. His time in Miami might be over. He's a free agent at the end of the year. So Connor Williams might have played his last game as a member of the Dolphins tonight, for all we know. And we're going to have to try to win now big games against good teams with Liam Eikenberg. And even though the Jets stink, the front seven doesn't on defense. And then Lester Cotton and Robert Jones are nice players. Don't get me wrong. But this was a 9-3 team with eyes on the Super Bowl. I don't know how soon Robert Hunt can get back. You don't want to rush him because he came back last time. He lasted, what, not even one game? Armstead's never out there. I mean, counting on waiting for him's like waiting for death at this point. He just never plays. So it's going to be interesting because this offense, and then you got Tyreek Hill in his situation, if Miami had a healthy lead, I don't think there's any chance he's back out on that field. And I think he was back out on that field a lot, kind of as a decoy. And then he was able to make a few plays, but literally a few plays, and he wasn't out there for key plays late in this game. The Dolphins right now, you know, Hard Knocks would be real interesting tomorrow night. Let me just say that. The Dolphins right now have a lot of injuries they're going to have to navigate right when the schedule gets a little tougher. You know, we played against teams like the Panthers, fell behind 14-0, overcame the mistakes. Against the Giants, Tua throws a pick six, all that stuff, overcame the mistakes. Played the Raiders, game was probably closer than it should have been, overcame the mistakes. Even the first game, week two against the Patriots, it was only, what, like a 7-10 point game up until like the end. Overcame the mistakes, and it finally caught us one of these games where we couldn't overcome the mistakes. But really, Bradley Chubb, Ferguson, and all the special teams, that was, even with all the mistakes and all the issues on the offensive line and all the injuries, if those guys just don't make the mistakes they make, they sneak out of here with a win, you're 10-3. And then you just survive in advance. But right now, two-game lead on the Bills. Bills have one win over us, and being the one seed, as I said, it's better to be healthy in the playoffs than to be the one seed. Right now, the Dolphins aren't going to be the one seed, and they might not be healthy. So I guess let's get into it, Tom.
All right. So Titans open 3-and-out. Dolphins get the ball, drive right down to the field, get down to the 2-yard line. Liam Eikenberg and Tua cannot get the snap down. Tua fumbles twice on the play. Once on the snap, he recovered and then was hit and fought and gave it right back. And the Titans get the ball. They get it at 3rd and 11 after a false start and a 2-yard run from Derrick Henry. It was 3rd and 11. Will Levis throws to Tajay Spears. It was intercepted by Zach Sealer, who runs it in for a touchdown, and it was 7-0 Dolphins early. The defense put a stamp on this early, obviously not late, but that was a great play by Zach Sealer to get the Dolphins on the board.
Yeah, fantastic play by Sealer. Third week in a row with a defensive touchdown for Miami. So, I mean, awesome stuff there.
The teams exchange a couple punts The Titans get a 14-play, 86-yard drive to tie the game up. It was a very good drive from Will Levis as he was connecting with a lot of different receivers here. DeAndre Hopkins hit Hopkins for 5 to get a first down to the 35. Tajay Spears for 3. 3rd and 7, hit Tajay Spears for 10. They get the ball to the Dolphins 30 after a 22-yard completion to Chris Moore. On 3rd and 10, Will Levis scrambles for 5 yards and a unsportsmanlike penalty because Bradley Chubb could not get the sack. It would have been 4th down and a field goal attempt. Instead, the drive gets extended to the 12, and they cash in on a direct snap to Derrick Henry. Bradley Chubb cost the Dolphins defense 7 points right there. And again, look at the score, 28-27. That was
all you had to do is take 2 more steps on the sideline. He can throw his helmet anywhere he wants. Literally, just walk to the sideline. You can throw the helmet anywhere you want. On the field of play, you can't. They would have held them to a field goal and we give him a touchdown instead. It's just, you know, and he's a leader on this team.
Yeah, that was not a good decision from Bradley Chubb. Again, the undisciplined Dolphins showed their ugly head in this game. The Dolphins go 9 plays, 46 yards on the ensuing drive. It stalls out at the 26, and Jason Sanders' 44-yard field goal was blocked by the worst special teams in the National Football League, who just fired their coach, by the way. Did not hurt the Dolphins in that regards. They exchange 3 and outs. The Titans do get a field goal, a 6-play, 69-yard drive. Drive stalls out at the 10. The 28-yard field goal by Nick Folk is good. As we hit halftime, at the score being 10-7. A very frustrating first half. So many blunders. The Bradley Chubb thing gave the Titans 7 points. The blocked field goal took 3 points off the board. Mike, I'm still lost for words. I'm trying to go through it. I can't.
At the start of that game, when the Dolphins come running on the field, the ESPN coverage, first time Hard Rock Stadium hosts a Monday Night Football game in 6, 7 years, whatever the heck it was, the place is going nuts. And then you start off with a Howard injury, a Waddle injury, a Connor injury, or a Tyreek, then Connor. It's like it took the life out of the stadium, and it took the life out of the offense because they just couldn't execute when they lost Connor and Tyreek. And, you know, Will Levis. They let this guy, Vic Fangio versus Will Levis. I would have bet my house on Vic Fangio. That's why I probably just stopped freaking gambling. Just made Will Levis look way better than he actually is. And the first half, it felt flat. It felt like we're in a dogfight against a team we shouldn't be in a dogfight against. And it's just brutal. I mean, it's absolutely brutal. And I'm going to skip the live reads at halftime. Just keep going to the second half.
Dolphins get an 11-play, 77-yard drive to open the second half. Unfortunately, ending in a chip shot field goal after a 3rd and goal. They throw a fade route again that goes incomplete. And Mike McDaniel settled for the 3 to tie the game at 10. Wish in that scenario, you give it to Mostert. If you get a yard, you go for it on 4th and goal from the 1. You know, you have some options there with Ingold, with Achan, and Mostert, but instead incomplete. Titans punt, Dolphins punt. Titans get a field goal to go up 13-10, 12-play, 60-yard drive. Once again, just very frustrating finish to the drive. 3rd and goal from the 6. Will Levis to Westbrook for a touchdown. It was reversed. It was ruled incomplete. So Dolphins fortunate there. 23-yard field goal is good. The Dolphins match it on the next drive. A 7-play, 59-yard drive. Started with a Tyreek Hill completion for 23 to end the 3rd quarter. Opens with a offsides. And then a 13-yard completion to Ingold, and then a 25-yard completion to Tyreek Hill. And the Dolphins, again, unfortunately had to settle after Tua slipped as he was escaping pressure, a sack for a loss of 10, brought it back to the 13. Jason Sanders' 31-yard field goal is good. After the teams exchanged punts, the Dolphins recover a muff punt and a massive mistake by the Titans to give the ball inside the 10-yard line, and it was 2 Raheem Mostert runs to put the Dolphins up 20-13. Mike, I thought at that point the game was on ice.
This is where the game really kind of picked up and started. Like I said, the first half was kind of blah, nothing really happened. In third quarter, not much happened, just exchange kind of field goals. And this is where the game picked up because Tennessee made two giant mistakes, which the Dolphins capitalized on and put in for touchdowns. But overall, this is where I'm like, you're in shock, I'm in shock. We get up by 14 here real quick, and it's like we stopped playing. It's like we thought the game was over. We just suspected the Titans to crawl up in a ball and go home. It didn't happen.
Nope. The very next play, it was a fumble on a bad option from Will Levis to Derrick Henry. Dolphins recover, score in two plays. Raheem Mostert ties Ricky Williams' rushing touchdown record at 16 with four games to play. So safe to assume that he will break the record this season for most touchdowns in a year from a position player. Raheem Mostert is well on his way. But the Dolphins give the ball back with 4 minutes, 34 seconds left, up two touchdowns. Titans go nine plays, 75 yards, capped off by Will Levis to DeAndre Hopkins, three-yard touchdown.
Less than 2 minutes, nine plays, 75 yards.
2:40 left on the clock. They do get the two-point conversion. Naheem Westbrook, Ikeheen was wide open on the two-point conversion. Dolphins get the ball. Raheem Mostert for 3 yards. After the first timeout, Raheem Mostert for a yard up the middle, and then Tua scrambled, was brought down short of the first down. Also a hold on Liam Eikenberg on that play that was declined. So even if Tua got it, it was coming back. And the Dolphins punted away Jake Bailey with a line drive kick and a 14-yard return to the 36. And in four plays, 64 yards, started with DeAndre Hopkins, 36-yard completion to a wide open DeAndre Hopkins in the middle of the field. Very inexcusable. Okonwu with a 16-yard reception to get it to the two-minute warning. 6 yard on the run by Tajay Spears after the Dolphins call a timeout. A penalty. I'm so confused on this. A defensive delay game because Zach Sealer shifted late?
Made a sudden movement over the center, which caused him to move. Now, here's the deal. This is where I say the reason NFL officiating stinks is because there's too many damn rules. And this is a prime example of a rule that should not be in there. Now, I actually thought at the moment, I go, you know what? They got Henry. They're going to run. Whether it's one run, two run, they're going to score. Let them score on the first play. Let's get the ball back. Oh, he needs a field goal. So it didn't upset me because they're going to, let's be honest, they're going to score. With Henry inside the five, they're going to score. But that's a stupid rule where he just caused the guy to move because he shifted suddenly. You can shift, just don't shift suddenly. And they wonder why the referees are confused out there and screw up so many plays. That's a prime example.
So the Dolphins get the ball down one, starts with a 7 yard completion to Braxton Berrios and then a 4 yard completion to Devon Achane. After an incompletion on first down, Tua goes to Durham Smythe, who catches it in his thighs. It was third and three. Tua goes to Devon Achane for only 1 yard. It was fourth and two, and Tua was sacked for a 3 yard loss. A complete collapse by the offensive line. I mean, the game ends. The Dolphins lose 28-27. Inexcusable loss. Now, I know I just was watching the chat for a little bit here, and people were talking about, you know, what's that do in regards of the playoffs and things like that. Let me just lay it out for you this way. The Dolphins have to win two games. Period. They have to get two. 11 really is the magic number here to get into the postseason. The problem is if they drop potentially three of four or they lose all of them, they're out. The Dolphins season would end. So every single game is more important now because of this loss. And there is a chance that the Dolphins may not win the AFC East. Now, it's still an uphill battle for Buffalo, but the Dolphins have to beat the Jets and the Bills have to lose to the Cowboys for the Dolphins to really have a chance to lock this division up and have that home playoff game that we've been talking about for really the last 2 weeks, the way things have been going. Could have stayed three games up on Buffalo, still tied with the Baltimore Ravens. And now we are staring at it's this, December.
How reminiscent right now at on Tuesday, December 12th, 12:15 a.m. as we record, do you feel like we were 365 days ago last December when we were 9-3 and the wheels came off? Tonight, well, we're 8-3 last year, 9-3, whatever we were. But the wheels came off in December. Right now, I hate to say it, there's a pit in my stomach with this Connor Williams news, with who knows about Tyreek. Even if he plays next week, he ain't going to be 100%. I got a pit in my stomach where I've lived through this before. I've seen where this goes. Now, I'm not saying we're going to lose out. I'm not saying, but we had it all in front of us where the stinking Titans at home, the Jets at home. We got three tough games. From the moment Kadarius Toney lined up offsides and the Bills somehow won, everyone's like, oh, don't worry about the Bills. You got to have the Chiefs lose because we lost. Folks, the one seed is great, but I'm telling you, it would have been better if the Chiefs just won yesterday and pretty much ended the Bills season, put them under 500, and not end their season, but really made it tough for them. That win combined with this loss, if you're a Bills fan saying, we already beat them once, we got to play them once more, they still got to play the Cowboys and Ravens. If you're a Bills fan tonight, you are not only happy, you have momentum and confidence. If you're the Dolphins, the injury report's going to look like a CVS receipt this week. And you don't know who you're going to have lining up on your offensive line. You don't know if Holland's going to play. You know if Tyreek's 100%. And you got a quarterback out there whose history in December, you know, outside of last week versus a bad Washington team, his history in December is porous, to say the least. Again, not hating, stating facts. His December record, his December stats outside of last week just aren't good. And I just kind of feel like we've just – tonight was a turning point in the season. We'll see the toughness of this team. We will see the toughness, the mental toughness, and the depth of this team. Everyone's been praising Chris, you know, everyone's praising Chris Greer. And I know he's done a very good job of what he's orchestrated, what this team's done so far. But let's, you know, and no, and teams can only overcome so many injuries too. So I don't want to put it on him. But right now, they're gonna some lesser known guys. Riley tonight played okay. Wasn't great, but he played okay. He filled in for Jerome Baker. Andrew Van Ginkle, Nagba played okay. They didn't have a game like they had last week, but they didn't really hurt us. They were okay tonight. Really, this offensive line will tell the tale of our season.
Yep.
Yeah, it's just I feel like it's another December. Questions about the offensive line. And here we go again. Yeah. I know PN's going to get mad at me. Why are you so negative? I'm not being negative. It's how I feel. I'm just being honest. Doesn't mean I'm saying they're going to lose. But if you don't feel that way, or if you're trying to hide those feelings, that's fine. But I'm just telling you how I feel right now in the moment. It's another December. We have a good record. We have a bunch of injuries. And I have questions about our offensive line. It just feels like the same story in a new year.
The one big difference for me is, I think, in comparison, just at least off the last game here, going back to last year, I felt like the pass protection was far superior to the run game protection.
It's flipped this year.
Run blocking. And it is 100% flipped this year. Dolphins ran the ball fairly well tonight, and they could not protect Tua. In this game, it was a god awful performance. Especially it was once Connor Williams went down, it was all bets were off. It just seemed like the Titans were just overloading on pressure. They kept sending, you know, odd man blitzes, and the guys just couldn't pick it up. And you know, this is going to have to get addressed. It has to get worked on. You know, sometimes you know, this is the type of game where the team on the losing side of this is the gut check, right? The Dolphins were kind of coasting through. Yeah, they lost to some good teams, but they were beating the crap out of these cupcake teams. They had this team down 14 points late in the fourth quarter, and they gave it up. This is kind of the rude awakening moment. Nothing is handed to you in the NFL. You have to go out and play a full 60 minutes, and once the clock reads zero, you know, you walk off the field with your head held high and you get a win. But this is the one where, like you said, Hard Knocks is going to be very interesting to watch tomorrow night, especially the way that this game ended. I'm interested to see I wish Vic Fangio would show his face, because I think right now he is absolutely lighting up that defense for how they played down the stretch. You know, it was inexcusable. It was a bad game across the board, not just the defense at the very end, but that collapse is on the defense more than anything else.
Well,
the play calling on offense when they got the ball
back
was not great.
Yep.
But you cannot give up a 9-play, 75-yard drive in 2 minutes. You just can't do that.
Yeah, and here's how I feel. Edmonds'
life and that shift in momentum. The game, I thought the game was over.
Yes, and for the end of that game, Vic and that side had a bad, whatever, final 4 or 5 minutes. I have confidence they'll fix that. That was a bad moment, and it cost them a game. I have confidence in Vic and everyone who's still healthy on that side of the ball. They'll fix that. What I don't have confidence in right now, as we sit today, is if we're going to go the next week or two against the Jets front seven and the Cowboys front seven with Robert Jones, Liam Eichenberg, and Lester Cotton, that our head coach who calls the plays doesn't understand you can't run the same offense you normally run. You know, those three guys run blocking, they are fine, but you got to become a run first team. You got to be a team that runs the ball, plays field position, conservative, kick your field goals. Don't go no crazy, you know, play calling. Can't be aggressive on 4th and 6, 4th and 5. That's a run the ball, conservative, play field position, which will put our punter, they're never going to help. He stinks too. You know, and just take your field goals when they're there type of game, especially if Tyreek's less than 100%. He has to change how he calls games. He has to be less aggressive at times, but not be like totally conservative either, as we saw at the end. He has to adjust. You got to play the hand you're dealt. And I don't think Hunt's going to be back soon. Who knows about Armstead? Here's the thing with Armstead. Even if he's out there, Kendall Lamb's not the issue. So I don't even know. I mean, if Armstead's – that's why you really have to consider moving Kendall Lamb to one of the spots at guards at this point, because he can at least pass block, and you're going to need him to pass block and possibly be next to Liam Eichenberg and help him out a little bit. But our head coach has to adjust how he calls the plays with the hand he's currently dealt, which isn't good. So we'll see if he does. That's the thing that worries me, because Mike McDaniel, for all the great things we love about him, we've seen him at times be stubborn as hell. You know, he's Brian Flores with more personality. Brian Flores was stubborn as hell, but he had no personality. Mike McDaniel, at times when it comes to his offense, is stubborn as hell. He does it with a smile, so people just let him get away with it. And we didn't mention the fumbled snap on the early in the game when we're going in for a score, at least a field goal. That cost us too. The fumbled exchange, just so many self-inflicted wounds. We just glossed over that between Chubb, between that penalty, which gave him 4, blocked field goal, and a fumbled snap, which cost us at least 3, assuming you would have kicked it. Just, you know, for as bad as we played, this should have been a game where we came away with a win, even though we didn't play great. Like a few other games, but we lost.
Yeah. This day overall sucked for me. This is just icing.
I know it did. let's go over the team stats, because there's some interesting stuff there.
Titans had 22 first downs. Dolphins had 20. Dolphins were 4 for 13 on third down. Titans were 5 for 13. The Dolphins were also 0 for 1 on fourth down, of course, at the end of the game. Titans ran 68 plays. Dolphins 69. Titans had 403 yards of offense. Like 140 of that on the last two drives.
Unbelievable. They outgained us.
Yeah. It was the last two drives.
Unbelievable.
Yep. Dolphins with 366, 13 total drives. Well, really 12, because the kneel down to me doesn't really count as a drive. 12 drives for the Dolphins. Titans averaged 5.9 yards per play. Dolphins 5.3. Tua was 23 of 33 passing in this game. Very un-Tua-like performance. 240 yards, 7.3 average. Sacked 5 times, 90.5 rating. Will Levis, 23 of 38, 327, 8.6 per attempt, 1 touchdown, 1 pick, was sacked only once, and had 86.2 rating. From a ground game perspective, they did a great job. Run defense, once again, was very good. 29 rushing attempts, 83 yards at 2.9 yards per carry. The Dolphins had 31 rushing attempts, 158 yards at 5.1. Games are won and lost in the red zone. The Titans were 3 for 5 in the red zone. The Dolphins 2 for 5. Penalties, Titans had 9 for 59, Dolphins 7 for 61. The Titans turned the ball over 3 times, and the Dolphins lost the game. And the Dolphins controlled the ball 32-24 to 27-36. I guess we got to give out a game ball, Mike.
Oh, God, I haven't even looked. Game ball. Well, if nobody has special teams, we sure as hell know that. I'll give it to Mostert. Mostert had a, you know, he had a good day. What was the exact number? 4.6 yards a carry, 21 carries, 96 yards, 2 touchdowns. Mostert, we're going to need him the rest of the way. I just hope our head coach, you know, Achan had a nice game as well. He averaged 6.7 yards a carry. But really, Raheem Mostert's been the most consistent player probably on his team this year. And I got to give it to him. I'll give him the game ball.
I will give it to Zach Sealer. Seemed like he had a good game overall outside of shifting late, which is fucking garbage.
Yeah, I'm not gonna hold that. I can't stop.
He had a pass defended, the interception, a quarterback hit, and of course the touchdown with 4 tackles.
He's getting a cake this week.
Yeah, he'll get a cake this week, but I hope he takes the cake and throws it in the trash based on how the defense played the final 2 drives against the Titans. So very disappointing. Dolphins dropped to 9-4, second in the conference, 2 games up on Buffalo with 4 to play. I can't stress enough, the Dolphins have to beat the Jets, and the Bills have to lose to the Cowboys.
Yeah, well, here's the deal right now. I ain't hitting the panic button right now because, like I've been saying, we've been flirting with the football gods, not stubbing our toe versus a team that we shouldn't have lost to. So was it bound to happen on some level? I guess. So it happened. If we lose to the Jets at home, we have first off, end of the year, 4 out of 5 at home, we have a 3-game stretch at home. If we start off that 3-game stretch losing 2 to the Titans, to losing to Will Levis and Zach Wilson at home, then you can hit the panic button at that point. Because here's the deal with the Jets. Their season's over. They're coming off a big win. They got nothing to lose. Miami's got everything to lose. Jets got nothing to lose. If they come into Hard Rock Stadium, treat it like the Super Bowl, say, you know what? Well, I don't care about the rest of the year. Most of us aren't going to be here next year. And they come out and play like they played this past week and beat us, then you can hit the panic button. I'm not hitting the panic button tonight. To me, this is a setback because I want to see. We're going to find out a lot about our head coach, the boy wonder, the one everyone, you know, so funny, so cute, hypes praise on. We all like Mike McDaniel. This is what you get paid for. We went through this last year. Did you learn anything? And can you adjust now? Look at your offensive line. You know the issues. Can you adjust? What's your plan B? Because if you try to run the same offense, it ain't going to work. If Hill is less than 100% and is playing limited snaps, it ain't going to work with Cedric Wilson in that role. As much as I like Seth, and he played great tonight too, it ain't going to work. You have to have a plan B and adjust. And if you try to put the square peg in the round hole, it's going to be a brutal December, and I can't go through it again. I just can't go through it again because last year was as bad as it got. And well, 8-3, 9-3, I forget right now. It's so late. And then we just collapsed. And right now we're kind of back in the same spot. So hopefully they learned something from last year. But yeah, the Connor Williams short news, though, if that's accurate, which again, I trust Omar Kelly, he wouldn't put that out there, put his name on it if he didn't hear something. That's pretty bad. That's pretty bad. So I don't know. We'll see how it goes, but lick our wounds. 6 days, we got the Jets, and you know, find a way to win.
Yeah,
find a way to win.
Real quick, I'm not saying we're backing in anything. The Dolphins beat the Jets, and the Cowboys beat the Bills. It's a 3-game lead with 3 left. There's no what. Who's backing in anything?
Backing in. We lost 4 games all year. Nobody's backing in.
No one's backing in.
Fans,
up 3 games with 3 to play is not backing in.
Not with this record. No, he's backing in with this record. We were just a 1 seed going into this game. Now we're backing in. Nobody's backing in. And here's the deal. Well, they got to get a home playoff game this year. They just do. Winning it is one thing. But if they just where they've been all year, they got to get a home playoff game. Otherwise, this would be if they don't win the division – they're going to go into the playoffs as much as a down, as a down, as a downer could be. And I wouldn't expect much of a fight in round 1. honestly.
Kind of like it was last year.
Kind of like it was last year, pretty much. And they did put up a fight in round one, but you just – this season –
you have to get a home playoff game. That's
– this season's just been – up until tonight has been so good on so many levels. And the one thing – I'm not glad because I wanted to see them both do it. Tyreek, 2,000 yards after tonight, rest in peace. That's over. It ain't happening. We don't have to – we don't have to count yards. We just don't. It's not happening. And any MVP talk for either of them, rest in peace. That's over too. Neither one of these guys are winning the MVP. So you ain't got to worry about any of that. That talk's all behind us. Now it's just about get wins and put yourself in the best position possible in the playoffs. Don't worry about the one seed. You got to do it in steps. Let's get the AFC East clinched up as soon as possible. Then we can really, hopefully some of these guys start coming back here. And if they're not, then we can really rest them. But getting the AFC East, that home playoff game, win your division, and then we'll see where we are in the seeding. And as I've been saying, and I don't care about the one seed, it's nice. It's a little perk. It's a cherry on top. But I want to be healthy for the playoffs. And after tonight, the one thing we're not is healthy right now, and that's more concerning than even the loss.
Yep. I agree. I am concerned about what we're going to see on Wednesday with the initial practice report, with the injuries.
Nobody's going to practice Wednesday. You're going to see a lot of vet rest days, did not practice on top of the injuries. This is going to be a short week to begin with. And this is where, you pay those leaders, Ramsey, Howard, Chubb, even though he didn't act like it tonight, Tyreek, even if he's not 100%, two is your quarterback. He wants, a $400, $500 million contract. We need our leaders, Armstead, even though he probably ain't playing, to step up and be leaders. The head coach has to do his job too, but the leaders need to step up, maybe tone back the touchdown celebrations for a week. Just maybe. I know it's no big deal. They probably put 5 seconds into it. I get it. I'm not mad about it. But maybe tone it down and let's get back to some basics a little bit here and get back to what put this team at 9-3. And coming, it's the Jets. I'm sorry, we can't lose to Zach Wilson home. We can't lose to Zach Wilson 2 years in a row, and you can't lose to Zach Wilson. Period. We just beat the crap out of them a couple weeks ago, where even we were able to block their defense. But now, that was then. This is going to be a different offensive line trying to block that defense. So come up with a plan, which probably includes running the ball, being conservative, and not being overly aggressive.
Hopefully that's the case. Well, we'll have a lineup of shows all this week leading up to the game against the Jets. Kickoff at 1 o'clock next Sunday. Thank God, because these long nights on Monday and Sunday.
That's why I hate post. People like primetime games. I can't stand them. I wish you played every game Sunday at 1 because it makes our lives easier. That's the reason I care. I don't need like primetime games. And screw ESPN. Here, I don't mind 2 Monday Night Football games on the same. In fact, they should do it every week.
It's not Red Zone.
They should do it every week. You're not the Red Zone channel, though. If I wanted to watch Packers Giants, I turn the channel. I tuned in to watch this game. Let me just watch this game in peace. You don't have to do the split screen. Everyone knows about the other game because you kept the score in the top corner. I get it. But if they want to do 2 Monday Night games every week, they probably should because they could probably sell it, make a boatload of money. But just let me watch the game I want to watch. If I wanted to watch a Red Zone, I would. That was just awful how ESPN handled this. And, just play Sunday at 1 where I can turn on my YouTube TV, just watch the game in peace, and not have to flip around. Just Sunday at 1. That's all I want.
Yeah.
That's all I want. I know I'm an old man. Get off my lawn. I don't care. I'm not that old, but whatever. Yeah. I feel like it at times. All right, let's end the show. It's going on 12:30. It's late, and I don't know what else we got to say. Other than the Dolphins stubbed their toe finally, shot themselves in the foot, and because of stupid mistakes. Once again, if Danny Crossman's employed by the end of the day Tuesday, I really question Mike McDaniel's judgment. And I know people say, what's the difference firing your coach in season? I don't know. Bringing someone else, it can't be any worse. If someone else cannot, someone else maybe just shake it up a little bit. And for love of God, just find a new punter at this point. This guy can't punt. There's got to be someone unsigned who can punt. Because Jake Bailey stinks. I know he won't get rid of our kicker, which he should. But special teams need a shake up here. Maybe that'd be an eye opener for this team. See some people have their heads roll in season. Be like, crap, we better get our stuff together. Because special teams was horrible tonight. The defense at the end of the game was bad. And let's if, like I always say, when it comes to injuries, if you don't believe in God, start. Say a couple prayers, say a couple novenas, got some holy water, bless it around, because we need Armstead back ASAP. Hopefully Hunt comes back in a week or two, and we'll hopefully Tyreek's able to get as close to 100% as possible. But everyone, thank you for listening, staying up late with us if you're listening on Tuesday morning. Wish we had a more positive and cheery show, but I don't know what you want me to say after a game like this. They lost. They didn't play well. I'm not going to lie to you and insult your intelligence. The season's not over. Like I said, lose to the Jets next week, I'll hit the panic button. Today's show is more frustration because we had a 14-point lead with 4 minutes to go, and they found a way to blow it, which is just mind-boggling to me. Check out the website, DolphinsTalk.com. Follow Tom on Twitter at DolphinsTalk.com. Follow myself at DolphinsTalk. We'll talk to you again after a while. Folks, don't forget, even though when you're driving to work tomorrow, you're probably going to be miserable, cranky, and upset, we still must put an end to highway profanity.
Fins up.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.